Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Mac Attack Show. We're glad you're here with us for a special episode for survivors of breast cancer, as well as co-survivors. Anybody that's ever been through anything or anybody that's going through anything can be encouraged with this episode with my dear friends, Cy and Tamika Bryant. Check them out.
Okay,
Bryant family, I think we're ready. Thank y'all for taking time out of your busy schedule to have a conversation with me. I thank God for you all. Love you all dearly. I've known you all almost 20 years now, but we won't get into the conversation when we first met.
It's the house.
but it's been a joy. This being Breast Cancer Awareness Month and many people celebrating survivors all across the country and even the world, I just wanted to have a conversation with someone that may help someone else. I fully believe sometimes when we go through, it inspires other people. And so I wanted to talk to you all not only about being a survivor, but also being a co-survivor. We want to talk about the book for just a little bit. Congratulations on being an author.
Thank you.
That is a task some people never accomplish. Congratulations on all that you all have done. But Tamika, I wanted to begin with a conversation with you. Tamika and Cy, actually, if you two could introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, what are some of your likes, what are some of your joys, how long have you two been married, what brought y'all together, how are you feel led to talk? Go forth at this time.
That's a lot of stuff you want to know in a small amount of time.
No, I'm giving you options. You don't have to.
It's all good. It's all good. So I am Tamika Bryant. Socially, I am known as Tamika Talks on Instagram. I run a lifestyle site relating to health and wellness, travel, entertainment, and lots of fashion, of course. You know, we're based in Philadelphia. I am a 7-year triple negative breast cancer survivor. As a result, I am also a patient advocate, where I not only advocate on Capitol Hill to our congresspersons to let them know that we need laws passed, I also advocate with other women or men who are going through breast cancer to help them along in their treatment journey. Your turn.
Love it. Tamika Talks. You heard that. Instagram, Tamika Talks. Follow her.
Yes.
And she also is an advocate. We appreciate anyone who stands up for justice and what's right, for not only themselves, but also for other people. Go ahead, Cy. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No worry. The thunder is stolen, man. So I am Cy Bryant. Tamika and I have been married for 18 years now. I'm still in corporate America working for a pharmaceutical company. And outside of that, I spend a lot of my time, you know, being a husband, a father, and just writing. So writing is a coping mechanism for me, just managing life in general.
Awesome. Both of you all are also well-respected members of your fraternity and sorority, standout individuals. Cy, as we often call him, is from the Nu Zeta chapter of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. And Tamika, I'm not aware of your chapter, but I do know you are a well-renowned and well-respected soror of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed. Sexy Ada chapter, Temple University.
Temple University. Amen. Shout out to Philly. Amen. Cy, both, I believe, are from Philly. I know Cy grew up in West Philly. Our prayers go out to that community. So much is going on right now, and so much tension, so much going on. People are having a hard time coping with injustice, political tension, racial tension, and so much going on. And so many people just feel hopeless with all that's going on. And so I think when people have that kind of anxiety, it pushes them beyond the edge. But I believe in the midst of chaos, in the midst of tension, in the midst of looting, and so many other things, that God also gives us glimmers of hope and rays of sunshine. And that's what you two are today. I consider these two rays of sunshine because at a moment in my life where I was spiritually, financially, and probably even physically at my lowest, I was inspired by this family and their testimony. I'm not going to steal the thunder. Plus, I wouldn't be able to articulate it as well as they can because they know their journey. But Cy and Tamika, I want you to share the testimony you all have, if you can briefly, about when you found out the news that Tamika did have cancer and what that journey was like.
You want to start?
Yeah, I will start because the journey was absolutely different for both of us. I absolutely long to think and process things and analyze. I'm an analytical thinker by nature. And so I needed to try to sort out why it happened. I mean, why did she get diagnosed? And it wasn't questioning God, but I truly wanted to know, was it because we turned left at the corner or right at the corner every day? Was it some electrical pulses in the air? What was it? And so while I was still trying to diagnose something that was improbable, I could not sort out the source of this. She had already scheduled appointments, already accepted that it is only a diagnosis. And she never, ever to this day claimed breast cancer. So whenever she talks about it, she always says, I was diagnosed. That's all it was a diagnosis. That's all it ever is.
Amen.
So where she was had moved on, Pastor, I was still stuck in what happened. You know, like a deer in the headlights, like, okay. And she's like, oh, well, you got to drop me off here. I'm like, but why? You know, because I didn't figure it out yet. So the journey was very long. So as she pointed out, it was 7 years ago and I got stuck. So my world kind of stopped in April of 2013 there was literally a couple of times that I remember you, Pastor, you just pinged me, you know, can I call you and pray with you? And I needed that so much, you know, times that you didn't even know I needed it, because it was times that I was just struggling. And you and our home pastor did the same thing a couple of times to say, you know, I don't need to talk to you. I'm not going to have all these questions, because that's the part I would struggle with, Pastor. It would be like, people want to talk about it, and I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't. I wanted to go places where I didn't have to talk about it. So prayer was great for me. Talking about it was awful for me. And I kind of held it in the last 7 years until this year. And that led to the book.
Yes. And so, yeah, our story is completely different. After receiving the diagnosis, I will admit I had a moment where I cried, kind of like, wait, this is real. How are we here? And so I feel like I cried for maybe 5 minutes. And then we walked into the hospital and I was like, all right, we got to get this done. Like, I got things to do. I don't have time. Like, I cannot let this be a long interruption in my life. Was it an interruption? Absolutely. But I feel like it happened for a reason. And I share this with people often, that I feel like God gives us these roadblocks sometimes for us to bring purpose to our life. And I definitely believe that just as a result of the diagnosis, I have a brand new sense of purpose where I've always liked to help people. I've always been a giver. Now it's just heightened that senses. And so after receiving the diagnosis and going through, you know, the numerous amount of appointments that, you know, that come along with it, in my spirit, I was like, God got this. So I don't need to stress about it, which is why I've never claimed it. Mm-hmm. You know, literally after I read all the paperwork and figured out what was going on, I marked it return to sender and was like, y'all can do with this whatever y'all want. I don't want it. I'm not claiming it. It's a done deal for me. And a lot of that was really just on my faith and things that I'd seen. And I knew that God would deliver me through. As a part of that process, I'm a fashion girl. I like really nice things. So shoes really became kind of like my spinach, like Popeye. And so I remember like walking into the cancer ward always with shoes on, like any type of shoes, high heels, stilettos, pink, whatever I could get my hands on at the moment. And so many people and patients that were there would be like, where's this girl going? And so I remember talking to my oncologist and they looked forward to me coming in because it would be like a glimmer of hope for other people. And so my mission just going forward has always been to help people bring beauty to the ugliness. And so I say, just because ugly is happening on the inside, it doesn't always have to happen on the inside.
Awesome, awesome. Beauty to ugliness. That's an awesome phrase. I'm going to borrow that if you don't mind. So,
all yours.
You said a lot, and I'm amazed at how you handled it, how you just met it. Like, all right, you know what? I still got stuff to do. I'm not gonna let this bring me down. How important do you believe perspective is for those that are battling illness, whether it's cancer or anything else? Like, how important is attitude?
It's probably the most important thing. Okay. I feel like it's the next step from your faith. You know, once you believe, you know, God's going to handle it, you've got to make certain that your attitude backs that up. And that doesn't mean that you won't have moments of weakness or crying or a breakdown, but it means that you'll get back up and you'll keep going.
I think that was one of the key messages that one of the oncologists said from the very beginning. Said if you believe you're going to live through this, you have a much higher chance of survival. But if you think you're dying, your body will listen to your mind. So your mind has to be focused, and the mind has to be focused. He did not, I don't think the first one alluded to God necessarily, but the second one did. And, you know, we definitely had some praying nurses that were in her remit. And I appreciate healthcare professionals that believe in God, because it feels different. Mm-hmm. It absolutely feels different. And when you're around them, they can help share your belief and strengthen your belief, because every day is not a good day, right?
Right.
But I would say one of those perspectives that really changed for us is I think we became closer more because things became real, right? Some petty things we used to argue about, you know, it didn't matter anymore. You know, it really didn't. Like,
don't tell me you argued about the shoes.
He let me buy even more shoes. Isn't that amazing?
Pastor, let me say this, right? When we first came together, she had a desire to have as many shoes as possible. Yeah, that was good, right?
That was a good one.
Okay. It was a desire to have as many shoes as possible.
I can think of some synonyms, so yeah, that was a good one.
And we had to pare down, because when you're building a family, some of that shoe money needs to be allocated in other ways.
Yep.
But at the point that she
pull-ups do cost money. Baby food does cost money. I get it. Yes, sir.
Come on. Diapers are expensive, because you can't even keep a constant rate of how much you need. Yeah.
Daycare right? costs
money. That's why you potty train them early, so then that's one less expense.
See, pastor. Okay. That's where we're at, right?
Let's stay focused. Let's bring it back.
So, when something like this comes into your life, you learn to appreciate the other person so much more. When just the threat that something unplanned could happen makes you appreciate every day differently. So the things that we used to get in arguments about, like the shoes and stuff, didn't matter. So she wanted pink stilettos, go buy pink stilettos. I don't care. You know, because it meant that she had the desire to wear them, which meant she would still be here with me. So a part of it is that belief in, because if you have something to believe in, something that you still want to do, then your mind and body will be focused on still doing that. And that's what I needed. I needed to know that she's gonna still be here.
Awesome. And so just from listening to you, I can tell emotionally this took a toll on you. And I want to ask you, Saeed, did you ever have moments where you questioned your level of support? Like, what could you have done better? Were you ever wrestling with how do I better support her as she's going through this? Or did you just focus on her so much you never even thought about your own personal feelings? Like, what was that process like? I guess I'm all over the place, but I'm just thinking about being a co-survivor and dealing with it emotionally, but also trying to be supportive for your spouse. Did you ever have moments where you were like, oh man, like, I'm going through, she's going through, like, I'm overwhelmed, like, I don't know what to do. Did you ever have moments like that?
So I had several moments where I felt overwhelmed. And what was it? It was that I felt powerless. So I think as the man in a relationship, the husband and wife, my role is to provide and protect. And I felt like I wasn't protecting her. And it took me a long time to figure out there was nothing I could do to protect her from that. Because that wasn't something I did. It wasn't like I stepped out of the way and it hit her. It just happened. So it took me a long time to digest that. And there was this moment, this was probably before she had surgery, that really hit me and made me feel better. Women started calling her. So Pastor, when I say women, I mean strangers. And Tamika would spend hours on the phone with this woman that she may remember her name, may not, just guiding them. And then it hit me, that's why God gave this to you. That's why God gave this diagnosis, because you're going to help so many other people. And since the last 7 years, she's helped hundreds of people, hundreds of people, just talking to them. It's going to be okay. This is what you got to do. Making them advocates for their own healthcare, which probably were not in their entire life. So she's created, not only being an advocate, she's created advocates. And so if you think about how far a separation we have of each other, she's helped indirectly thousands of people just by going through this experience herself. And again, although she helped people, she has known breast cancer, people that have been diagnosed with breast cancer before, she's never helped them like this. So when I was able to accept God's way of however this needed to happen, the amount of people she's helped has been amazing. And it has made me proud of her that I can, sometimes I reach out to her, even with our own fraternity brothers, when their wives go through something, I tell them, call Tamika. And I'll just text her, someone's gonna call, no problem. So she'll put everything aside for these women that are going through this. And sometimes in life, you just need to know that you're important to someone. And to have someone to talk to about something and it's, they actually have been through is so powerful and anointing. And that's what allowed me to get through those days, knowing that I could still trust in God no matter what.
Amen. Amen. Well, you kind of answered my next question for Tamika, which it was going to be, Tamika, did you ever feel a weight of doing, inspiring other people and talking to other people, which obviously you did. well, maybe you didn't feel the weight, but you just did. You just walked into the role, and that's phenomenal. It sounds like you may have even had moments where you talked to Saeed. You know, you talked him through whatever he was feeling, and I could tell you truly are a matriarch. You definitely are a backbone of the family, and I applaud that. So I just want to say publicly, I appreciate you, your spirit, your tenacity, your everything, just your brilliance. It is extremely dope to see a person who chooses to look at the glass half full and really lives it and really has a faith in God. And some people say they have faith, but then when they have trouble, you don't see it. But right. But when you really have faith, problems magnify who you are. Even problems magnify a marriage. Like this pandemic, I told people when it first started that you're going to see in your marriage whether you have true issues or you are truly connected. And and likewise, any possibly traumatic event in one's life can magnify who you are. And it looks like this particular matter in your life magnified the strength that both of you have. But I want to focus specifically on Tamika, the strength, the internal. Can I use the word fortitude?
You can. Okay. It's okay. I forgive you this time.
Somebody else, if we air this publicly, somebody else will catch that. But the fortitude you had on the inside to say, this is not going to be the end of me. This is not it. And so for anybody listening, anybody watching, please take note of this. You have a choice. You can choose life or death. You can choose to have faith or walk in fear. You can choose to be healthy or hopeless. You have a choice. And I get it. It is easier said than done. I'm 100% clear on that. But this right here is a living example that you can have a proper perspective with whatever you face. And with faith in God, things can happen in your faith. It truly can.
Amen.
Just a few more questions. What were some of the greatest joys in the process? A lot of people focus on the negatives, like, I don't even know if you did chemo. A lot of people say chemo was so horrific. This was bad. This was bad. I want to know, what were some of the greatest joys during the process?
I think for me, really part of the greatest joys was really in the moments that I got to celebrate with people. I feel like, you know, when you're going through this, this is definitely a time. You can I talk to you? So for me, those moments of joy came in that. And then the other moments came in with my children, where I know they were struggling and not really certain how to verbalize that to me, but they showed me how strong they were. And, you know, right as I was going through, the head of my daughter's lower school had just been diagnosed as well. And we have an event at the school, you know, for the lower school, and it's called the mother-daughter dance. And so, you know, she's like, are we going? I'm like, okay, if you want to go, we can go. And I said, well, do you want me to put on a wig? And she's like, well, why would you do that? And when I got there, you know, I got my bald head, which is what I generally walked around with anyway. And we're having a good time as always. And the head of school pulled me aside and she hugged me. And she said, I want to thank you for being so strong enough to come here as who you are. And she shared with me how, while, you know, when the news was announced that she was, you know, she was bald or, you know, whatever the case was going to be, that some parents had actually reached out to her and asked her to always wear a wig to keep her head covered. Mm-hmm. I was so offended because it's an all-girl school. Right. Women are the most people who are getting this, and we should want our children, our girls especially, to be equipped with it. And so I love that my daughter, you know, at the time she was what, 6, 7 at best? Oh, wow. She was learning information. She was sharing information. She was very supportive of her principal. And I didn't learn any of this until a lot later. So for me, just seeing the strength that came out in my children, those were some of my happy moments.
Awesome. Anything to add, Sai?
So I think for me, when I started writing, like cycling with the Young Survivor Coalition, because they had this annual bike ride called Tour de Pink, where they raise money, ride for 200 miles, you raise money to actually help women that are going through breast cancer. I think that was the first time where I felt like I was helping, because previously Tamika would do the ride, and then this one year, maybe like a week before, she hurt her ankle or something, and she couldn't do it, and she said, can you ride for me? That was probably the first time where I felt like I was doing something to truly help her, because she loves these women. And she wanted to be there. She said, you know what? I can't go, but I'm gonna send my husband. He'll go with you. You know what I mean? So that was it. And when I finished it, I felt so empowered that I actually was doing something to help other women diagnosed with breast cancer. Because I think prior to that, it felt like I was just on the sideline. Like, you know, I would take her to appointments. I would go shopping or whatever she needed. But I didn't feel like I was really helping. I felt like I was just doing my duty. So that was the first time I felt like I actually was helping to do something mentally. And that, again, gave me more strength to, as you highlighted before, you have the option to choose how you feel. And so when I felt so exhilarated from finishing, I realized I have to hold on to that feeling, and it's self-created. I gave myself that feeling to feel empowered, to know I was helping. And then I never wanted to let go of that feeling again. So I just held on to it. And it does go back to, we all have a choice. We don't have a choice what was happening to us. We have a choice about how we're going to manage it, how we're going to deal with it, how we're going to get through it.
Amen. So Tamika, we've kind of danced around it, but I want to ask you directly. What role did faith play in this process for you, and even now? What role did faith and spirituality play in either empowering you? Was it important? What role did faith play?
I mean, it plays the number one role. I mean, I know the importance of having faith and what God can do. I mean, I'm a witness. I mean, you know, I'm a living example of just what can happen if you believe. So it has always been my number one go-to. And even when Sai and I got married, you know, he never really understood part of the reason why I felt like I needed to go to church and just that feeling that it gave me. But my faith has literally carried me through some of the hardest and toughest times, where there are other people who probably would have broken or just been like, yeah, I can't do this. I knew that that's not an option, because I know no matter what is happening, God is going to carry me through. So Amen. It is definitely the first thing. And it's the first thing that I tell everybody that I talk to about as they're starting this journey. And I say, you know, I'm not telling you that you should believe in God, but you've got to have faith in a higher being. You've got to, because if you don't, there's no way that you can understand the science of cancer, realizing what chemo does to your body, and feel like you'll survive if you don't have faith.
You know what I realized, Pastor, and I had to humble myself. There were some times that she would, after chemotherapy, have some tough days. And one time, I thought she should have rest, and she wanted me to take her to church. And I struggled with that, because I'm thinking, chemotherapy weakens your immune system. Do I really want to run around all these people? But the feeling you get from being in God's house is indescribable, right? So it's like you feel the energy of so many people and all the prayers and all the singing, it strengthens you. So I had to humble myself to allow her to be strengthened and not be so ego driven that I needed to be the one to strengthen her, right? If that's where you need to go to get stronger, I realized that's where we need to go.
Yeah. Hey man, that's awesome. And your heart was in the right place because you were caring for her physical.
Right.
Sometimes our care for the physical, we do either forget the power of the spiritual. I believe they all are connected. They all are intertwined. When you're feeling great physically, it helps you spiritually and vice versa. But I appreciate the fact that you were transparent just now about you struggled with that. Because some people would say, you got to go to church. And other people would say, you need to stay your butt at home. So it's they are both extremes, but you two found a way. And what I love most about this, you two found a way to come together. And I think in situations like these, it is so important to have somebody, at least someone on the same page with you. And even if they're on a different page, willing to compromise or willing to meet you where you are. So kudos to the Bryant family. And I believe as strong as your faith was for both of you, I believe it grew during this encounter, during this process. So that's wonderful. That's a joy. And that's an encouragement for me as a pastor, because sometimes people come into sanctuary, you don't know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And you may never get a chance to talk to them, but they can leave better than they came. And for me, that's what it's all about. Even now when we're doing the virtual worship services, people aren't in the physical sanctuary. But sometimes people, just the words you may say, it can encourage a person and help them to feel better than what they were before. And so I encourage all, make somebody's life better. You know, I think we all want to make people better. Some people are drama kings or queens, and they just make things worse. But your words, your conversation, your prayers, your love, your poetry, your songs, whatever you do, can impact a person in such a way that can give them hope for tomorrow, can make them feel physically better when they're sick. It can do so much for a person. So kudos to church. Amen. Church still works. I think I'm going to make a shirt. Church still works. I got one.
Hey, you should. I like that.
That's a good one.
Amen. I got a shirt. I still believe in the black church, but I think I'm going to make a shirt. Church still works. So that's good.
Church still works.
Last but not least, well, you talked about writing. So next to last, Si, you talked about writing, and Tamika, you talked about Tamika Talks, which I believe is a platform where you share things with women and others. You all tell me about that journey. Like, what has that been like? I know you mentioned, Si, that it's been some form of therapy for you. Tamika, has it been therapeutic for you as well? Has it been empowering? Is it lucrative? Things of that nature. Not that I'm trying to get paid. Just, matter of fact, scratch that question. But my main thing is, you know, how has that journey been? Writing, talking. How has that been for you all?
So, Tamika Talks literally came out of something that I do all the time: talk. And so, as a social media influencer, it's kind of what I do. And I needed to really use my platform for good. And that's really what I pretty much did. So on Instagram, I mean, you'll find a gamut of things. Whereas this month, my focus has been on breast cancer, giving breast cancer facts, telling people more about just what happens in the process, you know, before, after, in the middle, all of that. And so, and then on my blog, which is lifeandpumps.com, I try to write stories that will relate to things that people are dealing with in everyday life. So I'm big focusing on health and wellness, because I feel like, especially as a Black community, it's something that we don't focus on enough and we don't talk about enough. So my goal is to really ask and share things that maybe you didn't know, or maybe you knew but weren't sure what to do about it, to share that type of thing. And so for me, it has been extremely rewarding, because I love when I get comments or instant messages from people when they're like, you know, thank you for sharing that. I didn't know that. Or, you know, I didn't realize that maybe I should go to the doctor, or I didn't know I should ask those questions. So for me, getting that feedback has been great.
Yeah, I think for me is my intention wasn't to write about breast cancer diagnosis or anything like that. I think it's probably one of the things I did not write about over the last couple of years. And I probably wrote this book starting in June after Father's Day. So after I wrote a poetry book around like being fatherless, I just kept writing it. So I literally wrote the book in like a month or two, right? And then just wanted to get it out there in time for October because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And just as a release point of letting that pain go. So although I had a different point where I was in a different state of belief, it was still remnants of pain, right? Because one of the things that Tamika does go through is that when her close friends, when somebody does get their wings, is what they call it, when someone does get their wings, it is emotional for her. So, you know, she may shed one or two tears, but I can see in her space, it's not the right time to interject, to just let her go through that and just be there for her when she needs it. But it's a constant feeling of going back and forth of we're okay and we're not okay. And you kind of relive it when someone you love as well. And so writing has been therapeutic from that perspective. And it turns out it's helping people. So I have a niece and one of Tamika's sisters was just encouraging me, get your writings out there. Before that, I was just writing to write for myself. But they just shared with me, this can probably help somebody else. Because although, you know, you're transparent and you're extroverted to an extent, most people are not. Most people won't talk about their wife being diagnosed with their mother or sister or even daughter. They just hold it in. And that's probably one of the worst things you can do is hold it in. And again, thinking back to church allows you to get things out in a safe environment. No one's out to get you. They're all to support you. But in this COVID time, you have to find a way to get it out. So whether it's writing or talking to a therapist or your pastor, you need to find somebody to talk to, because holding pain just leads to anger. And that's when you start going down the wrong path. So you need to find a way to release that pain before it turns into something negative.
Amen. Amen. Well, last hours well spent. Thank you for your time. If there's anything you want to share about the book, anything as far as what to look for in the book or where people can find the book or anybody can find any of your blogs or material, Tamika, anything you want to share with the public?
Yeah. So my website is cybryant.com. The books I have, you can look on Amazon for Cy Bryant. You can find them. It's just been a release for me. So I definitely want to help and share with anyone else. So if anyone's interested to talk about it, reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook at Cy Bryant.
And you can find me on the Interpumps or over on Instagram at Tamika Talks.
Awesome. Awesome. Last thing, any words for anyone that's dealing with cancer? Any words for anybody that's dealing with any type of illness? Just an encouraging word.
I would say have faith, believe in yourself. Don't let what it looks like bring you down. Find ways to bring joy. Literally, I just released a post on my site called Pretty in Pink, finding the joy in the midst of breast cancer. And I think that it is so important that you find your joy, no matter what it is. It could be a walk, whatever it is, find your joy, because that's what you need to hold on to as you're going through.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And buy more shoes.
Oh, come on. Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Oh, man. Oh, well, love y'all. It's been a joy. I appreciate y'all. This has been a joy for me. I truly appreciate it. And I'm sure it's going to be a joy for someone else.